Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, we started the show talking about Doug Jamal and the article that was in the paper on Sunday, and I said I would like to talk with a Buffalo leader, and of course, one of my favorite people in Buffalo politics, Mitch Nowakowski, is here with us. Mitch, thank you for taking time out of your busy day.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
So yesterday, the article in the paper was the honeymoon is over for Doug Jamal. Now he's fighting mad. Where does the city and Douglas development stand as we speak today?
Well, Joe, thanks for having me on, because I think that the one thing that the article missed in the Buffalo News was reactions from people that represent the districts in which these buildings are owned. And so reading the position of Mr. Jamal, who has acquired a lot of our downtown portfolio. I know that there was a state that he made a statement that local city officials he's not feeling too connected to or we're not helping. You know, the fact is that, Joe, we don't have, we're running a city with a structural deficit, and then we have our bond debacle where we have our capital budget where we're trying to take care of our own infrastructure needs. We don't have a blank check to be able to subsidize projects of a large magnitude for developers. I mean, the fact is that we have the Statler, we have large portions of our Main Street and our, the Mohawk Ramp that are going undeveloped. And so for me, the fairest point is that we see a developer that overextended themselves, got a huge portfolio of real estate, and then we have economic conditions of high labor costs, high inflation rates, high rates of how much materials cost, and we see banks that aren't lending and giving out money, and then ultimately, it's the fingers then pointed to the local municipality that's saying, well, can't you fill these gaps? No, we can't. We're operating a municipality to provide services. And I think that, look, in retrospect, I think that the prior administration may have advanced too much to this one developer. And we can't continue to see these buildings not go developed. And I certainly am all ears to come up with mechanisms to be able to get it going. But it's my thought that the city municipality provides the infrastructure and does that work for then developers to come in and then to do projects. We don't have a bank account where we can just write checks to subsidize projects for local developers. It's not real.
But to the point, what you just said, I mean, that was the norm under the last administration, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I think the previous administration, when we're looking at the Mohawk Ramp, or we're looking at Statler, or we're looking at other buildings, I think that they gave too much. I think that, when a billionaire comes into town, I think people say, well, look, we're going to be able to look to one person to rely on all these redevelopment needs. And I just don't think that's a functional approach, because I think that, when you absorb too much and you take on that responsibility, you know, then you're at the whim of economic conditions that have greatly altered and made development tougher. And now, you know, we're left with we're left with a portfolio that's not being invested in.
Do you believe Doug Jamal deserves a lot of credit for what he has done in the city of Buffalo?
Yeah, I think that, you know, betting on Buffalo and coming in here and providing resources and redeveloping projects is commendable. I think that it's just a sake of how much do you absorb and can you actually in perpetuity do it. You know, I know when people are driving down Elmwood, they see a project that's been stalled for a while. And, you know, when they see leases and for sale signs on those properties, they say, well, you know, we thought this was going to get done overnight. And I think that, you know, because of those factors have left us in this position.
Now, without Doug Jamal, though, do you believe that the One Seneca building would still be vacant today?
You know, it potentially could be. And, you know, Mr. Jamal has done a really good job with the projects that he has taken and saying, well, in lieu of tax credits, I need to put these in infrastructure. I need to be able to put this in lighting and being able to build out there. So, no, I don't cast any aspersions that it's all bad. I mean, he has come in and then bet on Buffalo and moved projects forward that ultimately could have languished and probably would have languished. So I think that my feelings are more mixed and fair on this of, you know, this is where we are.
Have you had contact with Doug Jamal? Have you guys had conversations?
We have, yeah. We have conversations when the development is in my district, but he is citywide. So he has a lot of projects, you know, in a multitude of districts. But the ones that have had to come, you know, for municipal approval or contracts, you know, especially when they've been forward to the council, Mr. Jamal has come into my office and talked to me. And I've been, you know, helpful of where I can be to ultimately see projects, especially the ones that are in my district, to move forward.
Now, Doug Jamal says that Buffalo is steeped in doom and gloom. Now, Mitch, before I ask you the question, I want to say I have been very vocal. When I say that I believe some Democrats are doom and gloom, I don't mean you. I think you're probably the most positive sounding person when talking about the city of Buffalo. He says Buffalo's steeped in doom and gloom. Now, you mentioned the real problems, fiscal problems that the city of Buffalo faces. Can you be positive and face the issues facing Buffalo at the same time?
Yes, because I fundamentally believe that multiple things can be true at the same time. And, you know, the road to success is always going to be under construction. It's always going to be something new and adaptive that's going to happen. And honestly, I think that if we can move the city of Buffalo forward, especially when it comes to development, we have to adapt. I think that there's you know, archaic mindsets from all sides about our portfolio, about what development looks like, and where. And I think that, you know, when we have more of a common sense approach of saying, look, you know, the city of Buffalo is one third of the entire of Erie County, and we have restaurants, hotels, we have venues for entertainment, we have world-class theaters and entertainment areas that are the economic boom of the city of Buffalo. And so I'm not all doom and gloom. I think that, look, there's going to be a new administration, no matter what, that comes in January, that's going to have to present a budget to the Common Council within 4 months that shows us how we're going to make up structural deficiencies that could be from the tune of $40 to $70 million. And then ultimately, you know, as you've seen this capital bond debacle where Supreme Court Judge Emilio Caliacovo penned a very beautiful decision that said, look, the Common Council is the appropriating body of funds. And a majority of those bans in the bonding that has come under scrutiny from the city controller are a mechanism that leverages other dollars to get this infrastructure done. So I think it's really interesting that we're having this conversation now because they are related. So if we can't get Middle Main Street done, we can't get Jefferson done, we can't get our sidewalks, our lighting, and our public infrastructure done, then it makes it harder for private sectors to then do their part. So we all got to come together. I think that I'm not doom and gloom. I think that our best days are ahead of us. And I think that we're already beautiful as we are, but we have a lot of work ahead of us.
No, Mitch, I want everyone to know. I mean, David and I were talking about this in our crosstalk. Mitch, you're one of our favorite Democrats. When I say doom and gloom, I hope you know I'm not talking about you. We have disagreements, but I would never say Mitch Nowakowski is doom and gloom. I want to ask you about Main Street, but I have one final Jamal question. And I know this is might be, I don't want you to talk poorly about the other government, but do you think the county could help Doug Jamal in a way and there could be some kind of compromise here?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think that there's, because when you're looking at other levels of government, there are mechanisms that local governments can implement that can make it or help facilitate development. I think that there will be, you know, some elected officials that say, look, you know, they're already making money, their revenue's high, and that could be true. But I ultimately think that, you know, when we're going to stimulate economies and we're going to put people back to work and we're going to fix our infrastructure and we're going to, build and adaptively reuse vacant buildings, that ultimately it draws people down here for density, and that we ultimately see a return on that investment from sales tax and from people paying taxes and higher assessed values on buildings and people in the street, which will ultimately lead to a safer community. So I think that there's a large way. It's like looking at a diamond. There's a ton of different sides to something that's beautiful like the city of Buffalo.
Now, you mentioned Main Street, and we know that the goal is to get cars back on all of Main Street. There are cars back on parts of Main Street. I have been, you know, very vocal. People always blame the train for business dying downtown. I wasn't alive for that, but I can't believe that one would equal the other. But where are we? Is that project going forward? And do we see the benefits of cars being on Main Street?
So we are seeing, we're the second part of that ban that we need issued by the city controller to finish the last piece of Main. So hopefully that gets remediated pretty quick, and then we could see that out to bid next season. And you bring up a really good point in the sense of that we live in a city. You can't, this isn't a suburb where you just park in a strip mall and you try to get the spot closest to where you're trying to go. We are an urban area where we have to rely on public transportation. We have to rely on bikers, walkers, ride sharing. If we're going to live in a competitive and metropolitan city, I do see that the cars on Main facilitate a certain demographic that are more willing to come on Main Street and to say, oh, nope, can't drive down there. No way, not going. So it kind of takes an air out of that argument. I do see Main Street, those parking spots being utilized a lot. But to talk in the totality of stimulation of our downtown core, the cars being there is a piece, but it's not a huge piece. That's leading to different stimulation. What will lead to stimulation is a supply of residents that live down in an urban core, and we have a ton of regional attractions that bring people there. Because, look, if your food's good enough, you don't need to park in front of it. You'll be willing to walk a block or two, and to get there and to patron those establishments that stimulate our economy.
Mitch, since this conversation started with development, you know, we're 2 days away from the home opener for what I believe will be the playoff-bound Buffalo Sabres. Any update on the cobblestone buildings?
So we have, I do know that it's currently being litigated now. I believe that there was a return date maybe yesterday for one section of the court case. And then in a few weeks, there will be a court case regarding the demolition. As you know, the developer, Mr. Carr, the owner of these properties who have allowed them to really be a detriment, ultimately has exhausted and is exhausting every single judicial remedy that he possibly can. I hope that after appeal, that there's no more litigation that can happen, and then ultimately it transfers to the portfolio of the city of Buffalo, and then we send an RFP out for it to be adaptively reused. You know, I think where I want folks to know is when they're going and they see this farce of a poster that says it's like a skyscraper. As you know, we're talking about development. If Doug Jamal can't get projects done, who is Daryl Carr to then build a skyscraper? Who's lending for it? How do you build the density to put in it? It's that whole poster is just a farce. But then ultimately, I want people to know is that is the oldest contributing structure to the Cobblestone Historic District. So historic districts can only get rebates or tax incentives back if they have enough qualifying old structures that make up that district. So one could argue, well, if you take the oldest structure that contributes to the Cobblestone Historic District and it is removed, then what is so historic, deemed so historic about this district, which then can jeopardize tax credits and development in the Cobblestone as a whole. And I have a really soft love for the Cobblestone. I think it's beautiful, and I think historic preservation, sometimes people say, oh, you're too foo-foo, this is kind of silly, why do you care? But look, the people that built this city 150 years ago had true craftsmanship. And you go to competitive cities around the world or even in this country, and they take their preservation pretty seriously. And ultimately, it generates an economic impact of people that want to come and enjoy historic districts.
Mitch, two more questions. One, I have to ask because I was critical of it and we never got around to discussing it. And that is the Bisons wanted to put a party deck on Swan Street and it was shot down. Why is that? And if they revised that plan, would they get approved?
I think that they should. So I took a tour of the Bisons. I usually annually see them once a year when we go over their capital needs and kind of the changing demographic. And to get people into Bisons, into adapting to a new model that will bring more people in there to enjoy their experience of the Bisons, I think they should go ahead. And, you know, I think, Beamer, that what to eat, because I oftentimes hear things that are similar. If you talk to the patrons in Chippewa or Allen or Hurdle or restaurateurs around the city, they have to adapt to a new generation. They have to adapt to a new social norms of how people entertain and patron establishments. So for the Bisons to come up with a new area of how to bring in more revenue and more people into the city of Buffalo and more people in those stands, God bless them, and we should be working with them.
And the final question that I'll ask you, because the candidate himself is not here, you know, Sean Ryan running for mayor. Democrats have been in the position of mayor for the last six decades in the city of Buffalo. Mitch Nowakowski, why would Sean Ryan bring the different change that Buffalo needs?
So that's a good question. And so I'm going to answer it in the way that I know Sean Ryan from when I was a 21-year-old senior interning for him in college to now as a second-term council member. Sean is sophisticated, and he's traveled the world, and he's oftentimes, we talk a lot when we're at breakfast of, did you see how Cleveland does this? Did you see how so-and-so does this in this city? And tries to say, well, why can't we do that here in the city of Buffalo? And so the old mentality of, well, that's just the way we did it. Well, that's how we did it 30 years ago. That doesn't produce us anything. And we deserve someone that's going to be a thinker. And then we deserve someone that'll be a doer. And I believe that he has both those traits to bring back a level of sophistication to the city, to get us to where we got to go, especially in an ever-changing world that arguably I feel like the world has changed so dramatically from 5 years ago that we have to be quick and in shape. And let me tell you, I tell him enough when we're getting breakfast that, you know, he's going to have to present, if he is, which I believe he'll be victorious, present a budget with a huge gap in it and looming issues that are from a past administration that we got to figure out. And so from day one, January 1st, once the ball drops, he'll have to hit the ground running.
Mitch Nowakowski, Buffalo Common Council member. Mitch, as you know, I'm always very grateful for your time and appreciate you coming on with such short notice.
Thanks, Beamer.
That is Mitch Nowakowski. He is Buffalo Common Council member.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.